As a child, I was raised on salted oats and tales of the savage past. I learned to love the drifting rain and winter's icy blast. And all day long on the holy isle, far out in Lamlash Bay, I walked the hills in creaking shoes where the bones of the old ones lay. And at night the head of Wallace bled on solemn floral drapes, and the flood of Scotland bloomed again among proddy dogs and pipes.
Hello and welcome to another installment of Chocopole News. My name is Paul Aronson, and we've been away for a while because I had a bleeding ulcer and then some heart problems, but we're back in full form, I believe, and so I hope you'll stay with us.
Bought and sold by a parcel of rogues for a handful of English gold, till our fate was sealed in Culloden Field when the blood of the clans ran down.
Good morning or good evening, depending on when you're listening. My name is Paul Aronson, and this is Tokyo Progressive Chocopole News again. And today my guest is Larry Taub or Lawrence Taub. Which do you prefer?
I prefer people call me Larry, but I guess I'm officially Lawrence Taub.
Okay, all right. Who has lived on and off in Japan for
32 years. Well, a total of 22 years, okay. But over a 32-year period.
Okay, and Larry has written a book called The Spiritual Imperative, Sex, Age, and the Last Caste.
Right.
When you hear the title Sex, Age, and the Last Caste, you might be wondering, what kind of book is this? And so we're going to probably hear a bit about the book, but also maybe a little bit about what got Larry into writing this book, a little bit about his experiences, and maybe that's a good place to start. So we were talking before we started recording, and you told me that you began writing this book shortly after you went to India, was that? Or
no, it was actually about 13 years later.
Uh-huh.
But what happened was that the book consists basically of three separate ideas combined into one idea. But there's one really big idea of the three, and that one originated with an idea I became familiar with when I was spending time in India in the late 60s. I spent about 2 years in India, Nepal, and Sri Lanka during the late 60s, mm-hmm. mainly interested in studying Indian philosophy and meditation and mm-hmm. related things related to that. But there was an idea I often heard in India circulated, which I call the theory of caste, or mm-hmm. the Indian philosophy of history. And it's an idea that traces back to two original ideas that appeared in the Rig Veda back in 1200 BC, mm-hmm. supposedly. The two ideas eventually combined, and the final result, which you hear a lot in India today, or in those days as well, back mm-hmm. in the 60s, was that there are four basic castes.
Okay.
You could say, of course, they're concerned with India, but you can apply this on a worldwide mm-hmm. basis. There are four basic castes in the world: a religious or spiritual caste, they called it the Brahmins; mm-hmm. the warrior caste, which they referred to as the Kshatriya; the merchant caste, which they call the Vaishva mm-hmm. or Vaishya; and the worker caste, the Shudras.
Mm-hmm.
And this has nothing to do with outcasts. They're
right.
outside the theory.
Right.
They exist in the caste system, but they have nothing to do with
okay.
the theory behind the caste
mm-hmm.
system. So anyway, there are these four basic castes, and supposedly each one rules the world,
mm-hmm.
dominates the world for an age, what
mm-hmm.
they call a yuga.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've heard of the Kali Yuga.
Mm-hmm.
The Kali Yuga refers to the period of history dominated by the worker caste,
mm-hmm.
the Shudra. Anyway, so so each caste dominates the world for an age, and then at the end of a cycle, it starts again.
Okay.
One of these cycles is called a Mahayuga. Anyway,
uh-huh.
yeah. So I heard this idea in various places. For example, just generally, people who are just generally Hindu,
mm-hmm.
familiar with Hinduism, they will refer to it. And then the different sects, there were a whole bunch of new sects in India at the time, religious sects, and
mm-hmm.
I'd come across them in one way or another, and they'd all have some sort of version
mm-hmm.
of this basic classic Hindu philosophy mm-hmm. of caste and history. And but at the time, it didn't make any sense to me. I just thought of it as another one of these interesting religious myths
mm-hmm.
or
kind of esoteric
ideas which had nothing to do with
mm-hmm.
history that I was familiar with,
mm-hmm.
which I studied at the university. It was my major subject,
mm-hmm.
history. And it didn't make, I couldn't see any connection between these Hindu religious ideas and
mm-hmm.
Real history. So I just happened to remember it.
Uh-huh. So there was this experience, and then the book is actually about three main types of,
right.
What can I say?
Yeah.
What would you call them?
I call them models.
Models, right. So there's also the sex model and the age model and the caste model. And I'm not sure, do these models fit together?
No, they sort of exist. They're all descriptions about how history evolves.
Mm-hmm.
They all describe the structure of
mm-hmm.
history. And nowadays, the whole world is into postmodernism, and
mm-hmm.
so we think that any attempt to explain history in a structural
mm-hmm.
way in terms of stages is incorrect. It's out of fashion, but actually the history does have structure, and these three models are three ways of describing how history evolves
mm-hmm.
from stage to stage. Well,
model.
The caste model is one way of describing. I later discovered. It hit me one day, actually, when I was reading, it was in 1975, it was about seven
mm-hmm.
years later, when it suddenly hit me. I was reading about the end of the Vietnam War. It was
mm-hmm.
the day that, in I think it was sometime in 1975, when the North Vietnamese had completely taken over the South.
Mm-hmm.
They had captured Saigon. There were Americans escaping from the embassy.
Mm-hmm.
And it suddenly hit me that this Hindu idea, actually did apply, if you
mm-hmm.
looked at it correctly, or it did actually describe
mm-hmm.
the way history evolved since
mm-hmm.
the beginning of the human race
uh-huh.
up until today and even into the future.
Uh-huh. How is that, in a sense?
Well, maybe first I ought to get to the... So one of the ideas of the book is the description of history according to this
mm-hmm.
Original Hindu view, which I call the caste model.
Mm-hmm.
But along the line, after I started making connections which resulted in this model, I also saw that there were two other ways
mm-hmm.
of describing the way history evolves. One is the sex model,
mm-hmm.
which has been stated in different ways by different feminist theorists. It's the idea that history goes from a yin or female principle
mm-hmm.
oriented age through a yang or male principle oriented age into an androgynous age.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there are three sexual ages
mm-hmm.
in the development of the human race. The yin period corresponds roughly to the prehistoric period.
Mm-hmm.
And the yang period corresponds to, which was oriented toward the female principle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the yang period corresponds to the period, entire period of history from the dawn of history
mm-hmm.
around 4 to 2000 BC to the present time. And this started off with the patriarchal revolution
mm-hmm.
in the early civilization. Now we're at the end of this yang or male principle
mm-hmm.
oriented age, and we're going into an androgynous, I don't know if final is the right word, but we're going into an age which synthesizes the yin and the yang into
mm-hmm.
a balanced state,
mm-hmm.
which you can call an androgynous age.
Mm-hmm.
We're going into an androgynous age, so that there's going to be from now on a balance between
mm-hmm.
things oriented to the female principle and things oriented to the male principle.
So for people listening, this doesn't necessarily mean that people are going to be of uncertain sex. I don't think it means
no,
that at all.
No. It's much more subtle than that. I should mention the third model. It's which I call the age model. So the title of the book is Sex, Age, and the Last
mm-hmm.
Caste, referring to the three models.
Mm-hmm.
That's the subtitle. So the age model is, it's an old idea that's been kicking around in Western civilization
mm-hmm.
for a long time. The idea that human history goes all through, evolves also mm-hmm. through stages that parallel the development of a single individual.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the stages in the life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, in history, there was a period of corresponding to infancy, and then birth, then infancy, then early childhood, mm-hmm. then later childhood, then adolescence, and eventually adulthood, mm-hmm. and old age, mm-hmm. death. Anyway, according to this model, the mm-hmm. human race is now at the age of 19.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And anyway.
uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so we've got these three different.
These are the three models that form the basis of the book.
Right. And you said that it started when you were 1975, the Vietnam War was over. And,
right.
And that made you notice that the caste model seemed to fit. And I wasn't quite sure how.
Well, what happened was after I decided at that point that these three models were fairly accurate descriptions of how history develops, I realize that each of the models extends into the future, so mm-hmm. they lead you to start to make predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to the models, as I interpreted them, said that certain things were going to happen,
mm-hmm.
but which were completely against common sense at mm-hmm. the time, that were very unlikely mm-hmm. at the time in 1975. So I thought, well, even though the models seem to describe history correctly,
mm-hmm.
they can't be a really valid descriptions if what they predict is so far out. So
right.
I kind of just kept the models in my mind but mm-hmm. didn't do anything with them. But then in the next 5 years, between 1975 and mm-hmm. 1980, a number of things happened on the world stage which conformed exactly to the predictions that the model mm-hmm. made. And this, along with one other factor, made me rethink the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of these was the development of trade friction between mm-hmm. Japan and the U.S., which was pretty unexpected up until 1975. Mm-hmm. The other one was the Iranian Revolution. It was from 1917 until then, all revolutions had been what they call socialist or communist revolutions.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, you mm-hmm. had the Iranian Revolution, which was based on religious principles. And this was totally unexpected. One had mm-hmm. never could have foreseen or imagined a religious mm-hmm. revolution, according to our normal way of looking at things at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing was Anwar Sadat's trip to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
The first time that an Arab leader had made a gesture of peace toward the arch enemy of the Arab world at that time. This mm-hmm. was totally unimaginable at the time, if some of you can remember that mm-hmm. far back. And these three events and a number of other smaller events that happened at the time pretty much conformed mm-hmm. to the way the models predicted things mm-hmm. were going to happen. So I started to think, well, maybe there is something to these models mm-hmm. after all. And I started thinking about maybe I should, if that's the case, in a way, I'm sort of given the responsibility, mm-hmm. you might say, of writing them down
uh-huh.
in some sort of book form. I mean, I wasn't really a writer mm-hmm. and I wasn't particularly interested in writing, but I felt that I should do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing that led me to write the book. The mm-hmm. other thing was a chance meeting. There was a woman who came to Japan to do research for a book. She was... this was in the late 70s. Feminism was still mm-hmm. at a very, in a relatively militant phase in the world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman was a TWA stewardess, Liz
mm-hmm.
Rich.
Mm-hmm.
I can mention her name.
I think so. And those were the days when we used the word stewardess,
was the
right?
Yeah. Treasurer of an organization called Stewardesses for Women's mm-hmm. Rights. They were mm-hmm. still called stewardesses in those days, not cabin attendants or air hostesses. Mm-hmm. And she had already written two books which sold quite well
mm-hmm.
About her experiences on the airline as a cabin attendant.
Mm-hmm.
And these books had been fairly successful, and she came to Japan to do some research for mm-hmm. a third book in relation to the Japanese airlines. And
okay.
She was sent to me by a mutual friend, and we spent a lot of time together, and we t- talked about ideas, uh-huh. and she heard these ideas. She said, "Larry, you have to write that up. Uh-huh. It's an amazing mm-hmm. thing. You should write it up." So, that was the second thing that mm-hmm. sort of impelled me to write the book.
Mm-hmm. So we have on the one hand various things that had come to be that, when you thought about them,
right.
kind of validated
right.
these three models.
Yeah.
And the other was this meeting with the woman who wrote the book, Liz
yes.
Rich. yeah. How would you say that these three models bear on the future?
Well, first of all, the models continued to predict correctly mm-hmm. up until now. Everything that's pretty much everything of significance that's happened, even unexpected things uh-huh. like the collapse of the communist European communists, mm-hmm. not Asian. In Asia, communism mm-hmm. is still alive. Also in Cuba, people forget that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the mm-hmm. in Russia and in the Russian zone mm-hmm. of influence, that communism collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
That and the reunification of Germany and the beginning of the peace process mm-hmm. in the Middle East, and the continued division of the world into blocks.
Uh-huh.
What else? Practically everything that has happened conforms pretty much to the way the models. Uh-huh. said they were going to happen. The continued movement of women into political power,
mm-hmm.
the growth and development of the environmental movement,
uh-huh.
animal rights, the acceptance of gayness in uh-huh. society.
When you say, for example, the growth of women into political power or gayness, these I guess are related to the sex model, or
yeah, the. Direct. Well, everything that happens is related to all three models, each model tends to focus on one aspect mm-hmm. of it. In terms of the role of women in politics and in economics, in business, etc., the sex model deals directly with that, but the other two models also, they are also consistent with the other mm-hmm. two models.
Can you give an example of how, for example, the age model or the caste model can be used to understand some of these developments?
Yeah, sure. According to the caste model, for example, according to the sex model, we're going from the yang age, which mm-hmm. is dominated by the male principle, to the androgynous age. This predicts a number of things, like the development of the environmental movement, the acceptance mm-hmm. of gayness in society and in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
As part of an androgynous trend.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the role of women in politics and business. They are bringing back the female principle mm-hmm. into the external world, into the world of business mm-hmm. and politics. In the future, one thing which is likely to happen is a mixture of the male and female sexual styles.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Right now, men and women tend to have opposite sexual styles, sexual and relationship style,
mm-hmm.
relating to each other sexually, mm-hmm. in love, etc. As we become androgynous,
mm-hmm.
we will expect the male and the female sexual styles to combine.
Uh-huh.
In other words, we're going to move into a period where we're going to attempt to combine depth in uh-huh. sexual and love relationships with variety. Now, right now, from this point mm-hmm. of view, some people will say, "Oh yeah, I can see this happening right in front
uh-huh,
of my
uh-huh.
eyes." But most people will still say, "No, impossible.
Mm-hmm.
The world won't accept this
right.
kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
You'll never get the two sexes uh-huh. together on these issues." In the world of politics, economics, religion, for example, the caste model has a lot to predict about
mm-hmm.
that. For example. According to the caste model, we're now going into the peak stage, the high point of the worker age.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, we're going to move into another
mm-hmm.
Religious spiritual uh-huh. age, which we can also see starting to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, in a way, is the rise of Islamic fundamentalism
mm-hmm.
in general, religious fundamentalism
right.
in general, reflects.
Mm-hmm.
However, on the political stage, over the next 30 years, in the worker age, we see the world dividing up into cultural, political, economic blocks. You have NAFTA, you have
mm-hmm.
the EU, you have ASEAN,
mm-hmm.
you have the South Asian Federation, you have
mm-hmm.
Mercosur, etc. This this division of the world into blocks will continue. Mm-hmm. And so when you think of the rise and fall of power, mm-hmm. of powerful countries, you have to think more in terms of blocks than mm-hmm. of individual countries. So what you will see, according to the caste model specifically, what you'll see emerging over the mm-hmm. next year is the division of the northern industrial tier of countries mm-hmm. into three big blocks. The number one powerful mm-hmm. block in the world will be what I call Confucial, consisting of China, Japan, and a reunified Korea, mm-hmm. basically. A Confucial block will have a very close mm-hmm. economic connection with the ASEAN mm-hmm. Group of countries just below that area. Then the number two block in the world will be Europe, spread eastward up to the Belarusian mm-hmm. and Ukrainian border. It will include most of what, in other words, it's the European Union spread east to eventually include all of Eastern and Western mm-hmm. Europe, minus the North. Mm-hmm. I'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
Now the third powerful block in uh-huh. the world is what I call the Polario block. Right now, mm-hmm. 20 years ago, this would have been totally unimaginable. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, people started mm-hmm. perhaps imagining it, but still at the moment, mm-hmm. it's somewhat inconceivable. And this is a new block, the third powerful block, mm-hmm. consisting of, which I call Polario, consisting of all of the countries, the large, giant countries neighboring the North Pole, mm-hmm. neighboring mm-hmm. each other around the North Pole. In other words, Russia and the United States and Canada will be in the same block.
In the same block. Okay.
In the same block, economic, political mm-hmm. block. And this block will also probably include Ukraine and Belarus, but most likely Scandinavia mm-hmm. as well. In other words, Scandinavia will, you know, to some extent will still be in Europe, but its main orientation will be in this polar block. Denmark might quit the European mm-hmm. Union, Sweden, Finland. Norway, which is still not in the European Union, and right. Iceland, they also will be in this block. So we will have Scandinavia as a unit, as part of this polar block.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the world will also continue to block off, mm-hmm. so to speak. Then, that's over the next 30 years, at the peak stage mm-hmm. of the worker caste age, mm-hmm. or worker age. But then after that, you will have a shift of world power again, away from these industrialized manufacturing-based mm-hmm. blocks to the middle of the world, to what I see as the emergence of four big blocks in what I call the religious belt, mm-hmm. which stretches from Tibet and Bangladesh in the east mm-hmm. through Central Asia, South Central Asia, across the Middle East, and over to North Africa. And I see here the formation of four powerful economic political blocks. And their power, mm-hmm. to a great extent, will be based on the economic importance of religion and spirituality mm-hmm. in the future. In other words, religion and spirituality will be the main growth market mm-hmm. in the economic sphere mm-hmm. at that time. So, these countries in the religious belt are mm-hmm. the countries that are most able to export this kind of so-called, if you want to call it, religious products mm-hmm. and services, products and services, religious products mm-hmm. and services. So their power will be based in the same way that Japan's economic power developed because of certain dominance of in the manufacturing sphere. Mm-hmm. These countries, their coming upon into the world of economic power will be based pretty much mm-hmm. on their religious and spiritual orientation. Mm-hmm. So the four big blocks. One of them, I call it the Bharati Federation, which mm-hmm. will consist of India, Bangladesh, Tibet, Pakistan, the Maldives, Nepal, mm-hmm. Bhutan. I think I didn't leave any out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that's one powerful block. Then the other main powerful block will be the Middle Eastern block, which will consist of Israel, Palestine, a Palestinian state, and all of the Arab countries, mm-hmm. Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, the countries of the Arabian Peninsula, mm-hmm. etc., the whole Arab Islamic world. Mm-hmm. And then two other blocks mm-hmm. also in the region, the Central Asian non-Arab Islamic uh-huh. bloc, consisting of Turkey, Iran, Afghanistan, and the five Central Asian republics that were formerly part of the Soviet Union, Azerbaijan, and maybe an independent Kurdistan. And I don't think I've left any country out at the moment. Then the other, the fourth bloc, will be what I call the Maghrebi Federation, consisting basically of the countries of North Africa, excluding Egypt. So these four blocs I see as the leaders of the world in the from about 2040 to the end of the century.
Okay, so this is after the first 30 years we're talking about.
But again, it's not that I see this. This is the way I interpret what what the caste model says.
Okay, I guess we're kind of getting close to the end here. One of the things I wanted to mention is your book, which is The Spiritual Imperative, Sex, Age, and the Last Caste. And if people want to get a hold of this book, what do they do?
Well, it can be ordered through Amazon, but I would suggest Amazon.com. But I would suggest to get in contact with me directly to get to order copies.
Okay.
The cost is $20. I don't like to say $19.95.
Right.
It's too complicated. $20 or the equivalent in the local currency. And the best thing to do would be to either write to me at my address or email me.
Okay.
And should I give my... My address is the following... maybe, Paul, you'd better read this address.
I'm more used to reading. So, Lawrence Taub, that's T-A-U-B. And the address is number sign 807-130 Lyons Plaza, Ebisu. LionsPlazaEbisu.
Next line.
Next line, the mailing address is 3-25-3 Higashi, that's Higashi, next line, Shibuyaku, Shibuya-ku, next line, Tokyo, Tokyo, zip code 150-0011. Japanese addresses are
Japan.
A bit long. Did I didn't say Japan. If you don't put Japan, it's going to go to Bhutan, probably. Well, thanks very much.
And the email is
The email address, right. That's Elitov. That's E-L-I-T-O-V-V as in Vatican, or very, @hotmail.com. Again, that's E-L-I-T-O-V @hotmail.com.
You think they'll know Hotmail without spelling?
Well, it's not H-O-T-M-A-L-E. It's unless we're talking about the sex model. Right? Okay,
right.
Hotmail, H-O-T-M-A-I-L .com. Okay, thanks very much, Lauren.
People who live around here, they don't have that much. They make do with things others wouldn't even touch. People who live round here, they work in the factories, and they don't have to choose, they're ruled by necessity. And they better watch out, there's a new breed taking over, they're driving us out. They've been giving us the old ones over, they want to tear the place down and turn it into yuppie town. They want to tear the place down and turn it into yuppie town.
You've been listening to Tokyo Progressive's Chocoball News. Today my guest was Larry Taub. Well, in the background you hear, as in the beginning, Alistair Hewlett, a musician that I've just become acquainted with, from Scotland, I believe, singing from his album Underclass, and we should hear quite a bit more of him next time. So, until the next time, take care. Bye-bye.
People who live round here, they like to have a beer and all. But since the old pub changed hands, you can't get in overalls. And they better watch out, there's a new breed taking over, they're driving us out. They've been giving us the old ones over, they want to tear the place down and turn it into yuppie town. want to tear the place down and turn it into yuppie town.